We now know that President Trump knew in February that the coronavirus was deadly, airborne, and five times worse than the flu, even though publicly he downplayed it and downplayed wearing masks. Well, our next guest has been trying to tell people how serious this pandemic is for a while. She's one of the increasing number of survivors of COVID-19, reporting debilitating medical issues, even though tests show they no longer carry the virus. They call themselves the long haulers. You might remember we spoke with a young doctor. 3 months after he was severely ill and then tested negative, technically virus-free, he was still having coughing fits, shortness of breath, and throat spasms that left him unable to work. Well, Diana Berendt, still suffering nearly 7 months after her most severe illness, realized early on that there were others like her and that they had a lot to offer each other and to science. She formed the online group Survivor Corps, whose members document their symptoms, donate their plasma, raise money for treatment and research, and provide support. We spoke to her before the new revelations about what the president knew and when he knew it. I started by asking how she was doing.
I have to tell you, I actually just got back from the eye doctor. My vision hasn't been as good since I've had COVID, and I've had a lot of lingering symptoms, and I've been going to specialist after specialist, and today's news was that I have apparently borderline glaucoma out of nowhere, which was kind of shocking to learn. I had actually just gone to the eye doctor in January, and the pressure levels were totally normal then, and here we are. And, you know, I was at the gastroenterologist earlier this week. I have an appointment with an ENT and a neurologist next week for the persistent headaches. And I consider myself one of the very lucky ones.
Well, let me ask you, do you hear about vision problems from other long haulers? This is the point, you're comparing notes.
Well, that's the thing. The CDC, when they put out their report saying that 1 in 3 people were not recovering in time, and we have 100,000 people just in Survivor Corps in the country, if we are past 6 million infections, that means that there are, you know, over 2 million people who have not recovered in time from COVID. And the symptoms, as we have found, you know, the CDC listed 12. We did a survey and found 98. And I think that if we were to do that survey again 6 weeks later, it could be double that number, because as we have learned that it is a vascular disease rather than a respiratory disease, we are seeing damage to almost every organ system. So the ocular issues are coming up, but they're just appearing right now. Most doctors are really, really unfamiliar with the potential effects of the virus. And even those who take it seriously just don't know how to treat all of these various ailments that people are, you know, experiencing in the aftermath of COVID.
Well, you're right. The CDC says a third of the people who've had COVID-19 are having long-term effects. A fifth of those are young people with no pre-existing conditions. The average long hauler is 44. That's you. But there are 25-year-olds who are marathon runners. So what are some of the things they're experiencing?
The most common things that we're seeing are prolonged respiratory issues, a very concerning degree of neurological issues. So brain fog, headaches, the kind of soul-crushing headaches that leave you under the covers in the dark, unable to function. We are seeing things as dramatic as post-COVID onset diabetes and lupus. We're seeing people in tremendous pain, inflammation of the joints. We're seeing skin issues. We're seeing people with tachycardia is a very common after effect.
Tachycardia, that's when your heart starts to beat at over 100 beats a minute, and it, you know, could lead to stroke or heart attack.
You know, really, there's not a single organ that is not being affected by this virus. Yeah. As a country, we are doing, you know, an adequate job of tracking infections, tracking hospitalization, and tracking mortality. But what it's missing is the 95% of people who are not hospitalized. They are being told to stay at home under no medical supervision with Tylenol and Gatorade, and to only seek medical help if they truly cannot breathe and need to be admitted to the emergency room. I mean, this is the first time in any of our collective experience where you would get sick, dramatically so, and be told to not go to the doctor. What we found at Survivor Corps, because I started it on March 24th, so we've sort of been the canary in the COVID coal mine, so to speak. So we started to see by the end of April that there were people who were not recovering. The impacts of this are just so far-reaching. Their ability to work, their ability to function in society, their mental health. It is really a huge public health crisis that we are staring down.
We know you've partnered with the University of Indiana. They've published a report using your data. You're also, as we just heard, advocating for post-COVID care. Mount Sinai in New York City has a post-COVID care center. But what is it that you want to see?
So I have been very lucky in that I actually am a patient now at Mount Sinai's post-COVID care center, but it's the type of care that is not available to really just about anyone in the country. We need to have centers like Mount Sinai's replicated everywhere.
What do they do?
The main thing is that they take you seriously. Many of our members are complaining. They describe it as being gaslit by their doctors. They're going in with severe medical conditions, and they're being told that they're having an anxiety attack. And yeah, they probably are having anxiety, but they're also having tachycardia. And they need to be treated medically and taken seriously. And so it was such a phenomenal relief to walk through those doors and have a doctor sit down with me for an hour and 45 minutes and listen to everything that I've gone through, and then referred me out to various specialists. It is really a model of what needs to be available to everybody. And so partnering with Dr. Lambert at IU School of Medicine, we are actually just wrapping up our second study. This is a really deep dive into every symptom that a person had, how long they had it for, in what order, did it come, did it go, what medications were they on beforehand. So it would be very interesting to know if people who were on blood thinners beforehand had an easier time. We are seeing that there could be a connection between certain MS drugs that could be protective against COVID. So trying to put together these disparate data points and try to tell a cohesive story about what is happening and maybe understand a little bit about why it's happening.
I mean, it's kind of crazy because this is what the medical system usually does.
Right. It's not usually, you know, a suburban mom who takes it upon themselves to do such a thing. Right. No, this is these are not usual times.
Yeah, no, they're not. We know you're also organizing plasma donations. We know that post-COVID blood has antibodies in it. There's question as to how effective it is as a treatment, but it's still an important item, and you're organizing that.
Yeah. Our mission has actually remained the same since the day I started Survivor Corps while I was in isolation in my bedroom with COVID, and that is to mobilize an army of COVID survivors to donate their plasma and to support science in every way possible. We have a Facebook group that's open to everybody. And we also have a website, survivorcorps.com, which is basically a one-stop shop of how you can give back. Because if you have had COVID, you have superpowers inside of you. This virus is a mystery, but the answers to that mystery lie in the bodies of survivors. It is a moral imperative to engage in every single scientific research study for which we qualify.
Diana Behrendt, we're going to hook people up to Survivor Corps at hearnow.org. I just have to ask, it's one of those things where people say it's a club you don't want to join, but it sounds like it is. If you are post-COVID, what a great support group. What happens? Do people leave? Do people say, hey, I'm better?
Well, one problem is that they're not actually getting better. The people who are experiencing these long-haul symptoms, and it's a huge, huge number, most of them are not better yet. We're seeing people who are experiencing it chronically, and then we're seeing people who have symptomatic relapses. It's a very deceptive recovery, because just when you think that you're on the other side, it rears its ugly head again. And it's true, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But I will say, on a positive note, that Survivor Corps is really an extraordinary virtual place. It is the most civil, supportive, caring community that exists among 100,000 strangers in America right now.
Well, and I'm imagining, you know, it's a club you don't want to join, but I bet people are desperate for it just to hear that they are not alone in this.
Absolutely. I mean, having COVID and, you know, people are isolated at home and they're scared. And there's never been more of a need for a community like this. But what's amazing is to see the level of support and to see people being raised up as superheroes every time they go and donate plasma, and they post their donor selfies and they get hundreds of likes. People ask me all the time, what do I tell, you know, my uncle who thinks it's a hoax? And the answer is very simple. Come on over to Survivor Corps and read these stories. And I promise he'll change his mind.
Diana, I wish you all the best, and we wish you better health, and to all of your members. We just think about you, and thank you so much for telling us about what you're doing.
Thank you so much for bringing light to such an important subject. We're so appreciative. Yeah.